start with my usual those vocal exercises when I normally record my fantastic Drunken Dangerous that you may... Well, you definitely are listening to. I was going to say may or may not to try to sound clever, but that's the stupidest shit ever, because if you were actually not listening to this, then you would not be listening to this at all. But you are. Hey, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back. Or at least you definitely are if you're listening to this, because you're not psychic. You're not. I swear to God, you're not. Stop telling me you are. I don't believe you. No, you're listening to this through your ears. That's right, I got you. I'm not listening to your bullshit. That's right, I'm very high, because we're back for another 420 Fairy Tales. This is Drunken Dangerous. You're wasting your time with me. Are you excited? I don't know. I'm not psychic either. See, it's all bullshit, I told you. So we're back, and we're going to read another one for, like... Okay, I like the series, too. I enjoy reading these fairy tales, but every time... I'm usually let down. I think the one time we had Bluebeard, I was like, you know what? That was kind of a nice story. It was, like, refreshing, right? Because it wasn't just a bunch of children being burned to death or someone's limbs being hacked off or, like, a talking horse getting its brain eaten out by whatever, you know, little man in a forest or something. Just, it ended nicely, right? Nicely, so to speak. Not a really nice story, but it ended with the Castle of Murder having, you know... fallen, as it should, because they murder everybody and they're not even, like, careful about it. They call themselves the Castle of Murder. Like, shit, could you at least try to deny this? Like, don't be going around murdering people and then act shocked when people want to, you know, assassinate you. I'm sorry. At least pretend. Like, have the dignity to at least, like, fucking lie to us. Like, at least lie to me, man. At least try. So, anyway. No, most of these are, I don't really know how they're necessarily, because a lot of times we talk about fairy tales telling, you know, moral parables and things like that, which I get, and I suppose it's because I just come from a different time and my morality is different, but when I read something like Snow White and this little 7-year-old girl is getting her corpse perved at, and the lesson isn't that this prince is a fucking creeper, but it's like some romantic thing. I go, you know, I don't know if you are telling me morals, but I don't think I necessarily agree with your version of morality here. Society from which these stories took place, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe it gets better. Maybe as the stories progress, you know, things get more advanced. Society starts to come around and stops murdering people in cold blood constantly. But I don't know. This isn't taking place in the real world. It's taking place in fairy tale land. So for all we know, the farther fairy tale land goes, the more advanced it gets, the more brutal and violent it becomes, you know? I mean, who knew? When I was a kid, I thought, like, as the future came, things would just get better. Yeah. how's that working for you, you know? Okay, so, that said, we're gonna be on a positive note. I'm in a good mood. You shut the fuck up. You be in a good mood, too. Don't you fucking drag me down. Fucking again. And we are going to read where we left off with everyone's favorite person. The story titled The Mother-in-Law. It's gonna be real pleasant, I can tell already. Once there lived a king and a queen, and the queen had a terribly evil mother-in-law. One day the king went to war, and the old queen had her daughter-in-law locked up in a damp cellar, along with her 2 little sons. You know what? Normally when people say they have, like, evil in-laws, I'd be like, okay, you're exaggerating. But this, you know, I gotta hand it to her. She's kind of fucking evil. Lock her in a damp cellar with her kids. What the fuck? Oh, wow. Nope, it gets worse very quickly. After some time had passed, the mother-in-law said to herself, I'd really like to eat one of the children. Like, this isn't a conversation... This is a conversation you need to have with your therapist, lady. Not with yourself. Not while standing over the stove contemplating your carving knives. Madam, this is something you talk to your doctor about. Or you call 911 and say, I listen to those 911 calls sometimes because they're really fascinating. This would be one of those calls, you know, where she's calling 911. The operator's like, 911, what's your emergency? And she's like, I'd really like to eat one of the children. And she's like, okay, ma'am, why would you like to do that? You know, keeping her on the line. That's what this sounds like. This bitch is out of her goddamn mind. And also, did the king not know his mom was a cannibal? Was he in on this? How do you not know this? She's your mom. I'm sorry. Like, I get some people having in-laws that suck, but they're, like, usually, like, low-key shitty, not just over the top, like, so crazy they'll lock your kid in a cellar, like, or no, lock your fucking spouse in a cellar and then, like, eat your child. I'm sorry. Eat your child? At that point, you're not human anymore. You're like a troll under a bridge. Like, I gotta say, you might think, you know, worst case scenario, if you would think of your parents killing your kid, never in a million years would, or I'm sorry, I keep saying kid, it's fucking spouse, right? So this is his wife, okay? You're the king. Your mom is so crazy. It's the incest, which I was talking about before, right? Keep it with me. Royal incest makes crazy people. His mom was one of those royal incest babies. She's batshit fucking crazy. And he's so stupid because of the incest. He doesn't understand that his mom's batshit fucking crazy. This is just my assumption. Because otherwise I don't understand the logic here. And she decided that the kid needs to be eaten. Because why? I don't understand. How is she going to explain it to her kid? Like, her kid comes back and he's like, hey, what happened to my son? And his mom's like, oh, it's a funny story, but, like, I got really hungry and nothing else in the house looked good. So she called her cook and ordered him to go down into the cellar, take one of the little sons, slaughter him, and cook him. She's not even trying to hide it. And also, I'm not going to do that. Sorry. The king's child. I don't care the fuck I am. I'm not killing the king's child. That's the quickest way to get fucking murdered horribly by the king. That is the worst idea ever. Oh my god. What kind of sauce would you like? Asked the cook. A brown one, said the old queen. The cook then went down into the cellar and said, ah, Your Highness, the old queen wants me to slaughter and cook one of your sons this evening. The young queen was deeply distressed and said, well, why don't we take a pig, cook it the way she wants, and say that it was my child? The cook did just that and served the pig in a brown sauce to the old queen as though it were a child. How do you plate that? Like... Do you plate it with, like, a pacifier to the side instead of parsley? Indeed, she ate it with great relish. Soon thereafter, the old queen thought, the child's meat tasted so tender that I'd like to have the second as well. So she called the cook and ordered him to go down to the cellar and slaughter the second one. What kind of sauce should I cook him in? Oh, in a white one, said the old queen. This bitch is... Okay, how much pork did they bring her? Did she eat a child's worth of pork? And then she just ate... She's going to eat a second child's worth of pork. How fat is she? What... Is this magic? Like, how does that work? I can't eat an entire child's worth of meat. I'm sorry. Am I alone in this? Is the more I read these, I feel inferior in the weirdest ways that, like, no one should feel inferior over. But somehow I'm like, am I weird because I can't eat two toddlers' worth of meat? The questions that now keep me up at night. You guys, I suffer for my art. You're all fucking welcome. The cook went down into the cellar and said, the old queen has ordered me now to slaughter your second little son and cook him too. Take a suckling pig, the young queen said, and cook it exactly as she likes it. The cook did just that and set it down in front of the old queen in a white sauce, and she devoured it with even greater relish than before. Finally, the queen thought, now that the children are in my body, I'd like to eat the young queen as well. The old queen called the cook and ordered him to cook the young queen. It was a fragment, a story fragment. Fuck you people, I hate when they do this shit. Fragment. The cook slaughters a doe the third time. However, the young queen has trouble preventing her children from screaming. She doesn't want the old queen to hear them and realize they are still alive, and so on. What is the and so on? That's not a fucking answer. God damn it. You know, I was just talking about Grimm managing to disappoint me further and further, and yet this is another fucking example in a way I didn't expect. Thank you, Grimm. Thank you. You were ahead of your time in pissing me off. I hadn't even been born yet, and you fucking knew somehow. God damn it. Intermission. Fuck this shit. Okay. I'm skipping this section of story fragments because I don't want to just be pissed off at a bunch of, like, parts of stories that I'll never get the answers to. Who, to be honest, could have ended any way. I have a really low bar for what I expect in fairy tales anymore because they can be so off the walls that, yes, there are certain patterns, but sometimes they stray so far in a different, just batshit crazy fucking direction that I go, okay, I can find it kind of hard to anticipate. It's been kind of like 2020. It's settled down a lot, but in the beginning, it felt like, okay, let me off the ride. What the fuck else is gonna happen, you know? It's like Grimm's fairy tales. All right, let's go to the next whole story, which is called The Fox and the Geese. And as we all know, everyone loves geese. Once the fox came to a meadow where there was a flock of nice, plump geese. Then he laughed and said, I know he's supposed to be laughing, but he just says ho, and that's not how he laughs. He's not going to go, ho! Nobody's doing that. So I'm just deciding he's talking to himself and calling himself a ho. Ho, I've come just at the right moment. You're sitting there together so nicely that all I have to do is eat you up one by one. The geese began cackling in fright and jumped up. They screamed for mercy and begged piteously for their lives. However, the fox said, no mercy. You've got to die. Finally, one of the geese plucked up her courage and said, well, if we poor geese must surrender our innocent young lives, then show us some mercy by granting us one last prayer so we don't have to die with all sins. What the fuck is this? Geese have sins? Geese are Catholic? What is this? What the fuck is this shit? My geese died with its sins? What? How many sins does a fucking goose have beyond just being a goose? Like, instead of being a fucking dick bag, but that's just what geese do. I mean, okay, think about it. Would you hate geese that much if you knew they actually not only felt bad about it, but felt bad enough about it that before they died, they asked to pray so they could be forgiven for their sins of annoying you. Like, that'd be fucking weird, right? Like, yeah, you'd still hate the geese, but you want to yell after them, like, stop hating yourself so much. Practice self-love. As you, like, kick a boot at its head, because fuck it. You know, it's an asshole anyway. Oh, yeah, so They don't want to die with their sins, which that's fucking weird. Okay. After that, we'll line up in a row so that you'll continually be able to pick out the fattest among us. What the fuck? You don't gotta add that bonus. Well, you'd be like, in case you're lazy, I'll just, like, here you can easily point out which one's a fat fatty. Was it, like, the skinniest goose that said that? Like, that does not sound like something the fattest goose would say. All right, said the fox. That's a fair and pious request. And the fox cares that their request is pious. What the hell is with this animal universe? I will never understand. They eat some of them, and then the other ones have, like, the most human characteristics. It's bizarre. I'll wait until you're done. That's how honorable of you. So the first goose began a good long prayer and kept saying, "Gah, gah!" I mean, it's italicized. I just gotta do it. It's a goose. Since she refused to end her prayer, the second didn't wait for her turn and also began saying, "Gah, gah!" And when they all will have finished praying, the tale will be continued to be told, but in the meantime, they're still saying their prayers. That's the end of volume one. That's a big fuck you if I've ever heard one. This is volume two. Volume two. You guys, I'm going to take an intermission for a second because holy shit, I didn't know it was broken into volumes. We just finished volume one and it's basically that geese are annoying fucks and they just fucking make that awful goose noise all the time because they're quote unquote saying their prayers. There's a lot of geese. The fox was an idiot to just accept that bargain. Honestly, I'm impressed that the fox kept his end of the bargain and he didn't just go, "Yeah, fuck it." Honestly, I'm more impressed not by the goose's trickery, but that the fox kept his word to a bunch of geese despite being a fox and having nothing to gain by honoring this animal's request. It wouldn't matter to a real fox if a goose was being pious. The fox doesn't care. It's going to eat its face off because it's a fox and it's hungry. So the fact that this fox has enough morality to abstain from killing a goose, I don't see it as a villain. I see that fox as incredibly moral. Yeah. That was not the message I was supposed to get away, but fuck you, Grim. Okay. Alright, let me hit before I continue these fantastic stories. Is anyone excited for Halloween, I ask? I fucking am. I want to, like, binge. I want to take, like, 2 days off. And I want to, like, binge, like, marathon watch a fuck ton of horror movies. Good ones, bad ones, eat my way through a whole, like, fucking plethora of Halloween candy, like, before Halloween, of course, and just, like, get, like, fucking big pizza delivered and just eat candy and pizza and, like, drink, like, cocktails and just fucking watch, like, a ton of horror movies and eat absolute trash and just make a mockery of, you know, whatever being might have created me and actually gave a shit about my body, if one such existed, say, God, I would be absolutely soiling the temple. Soiling the hell out of it. Okay, let's continue. Volume 2. I'm excited. I'm sure these stories will be much better and happier. Actually, if they are, I'll be really disappointed. You better not. Better not. I like this stuff fucked up. Come on, admit it. So do you. We all do. We all do. Story numero uno. The poor man and the rich man. Ooh la la. In olden times, when the dear Lord himself was still wandering the earth among mortals, That's up for debate. He happened to grow tired one evening, and night descended before he could reach an inn. Then he saw two houses right in front of him, just opposite one another. One house was large and beautiful and belonged to a rich man, and the other was small and shabby and belonged to dangerous ASMR. I mean, a poor man. It belonged to a poor man. Our dear Lord, thought, I'm sure I won't be a burden to the rich man. Oh no, it's a parable about how rich people suck. Like, we've all heard it before. But whatever, let's hear the rich man go, I don't have room for you. Get out of here, you shabby god. Pshh. You know what's gonna happen. And our dear Lord was apparently a naive motherfucker and thought some rich dude was gonna be like, come on in, bro. Like, and he, wait, if God made these people, shouldn't he have known they were assholes? Shouldn't he have known what he was doing was about it? You know, I'm not gonna get into this. The Lord, asterisk. So it's like, no, it's gonna be great. The rich guy's totally gonna let me in. A wink. Don't play dumb. God, you knew what was going on. And he knocked at the door. All at once, the rich man opened the window and asked what he wanted. A night's lodging. The rich man examined the traveler from head to toe. And since the dear Lord was dressed very simply and didn't look like he had much money in his pockets, the rich man shook his head and said, I can't put you up. My rooms are full of seeds. If I were to put up all the people who knocked at my door, then I'd have to go out begging for myself. Look for a place somewhere else. With that, he slammed the window shut and left the dear Lord standing there. So the dear Lord... Could they stop saying dear Lord? So the dear Lord turned around and went across the street to the small house. No sooner had he knocked than the poor man already had the door open and asked the traveler to enter and spend the night in his house. It's already dark, he said, and you won't be able to go much farther tonight. And he's going to kill him. That's the parable. Don't trust people that are too willing to take you in their house. You didn't even ask, and he's already telling you to come stay the night. He's either going to knock you out and do stuff to you while you're sleeping, either for blackmail purposes or some weird twisted sex thing, weird sex thing, or he's just going to rob you. I don't trust this guy. That's also a thing, though. Like, if I'm going up to somebody's house to be like, I'm in need, and before I can even knock, those fuckers are literally outside asking me to stay the night in their house before I can even tell them that's what I want. You don't have good intentions, you know? Like, who even are you? Why are you inviting me to stay? This is a rape thing, isn't it? I mean, okay, maybe call me pessimistic and go ahead and stay the night at somebody's house that you don't know. Who invites you in before you even ask? Tells you to stay the night. They want you to stay forever, okay? They want to wear your skin. Don't do it. All right. Where was I? Let's see. Oh, yes. He already said, come in and stay the night. The Lord was pleased to hear that, and he entered the house. The poor man's wife welcomed him by shaking his hand. This is not very exciting. She told him to make himself feel at home and to feel free to use anything they had, even though they didn't have much. Whatever they had, he could gladly have, including the wife. Na na na. Yeah, I bet you didn't see it going that direction, did you? Volume 2 is the erotic edition. Okay, it's not, but like I kind of wish. Then she put potatoes on the fire. Were they greaseless? And while they were cooking, she milked the goat, so she was good with her hands. So they would at least have a little milk with the meal. When the table had been set, the dear Lord sat down and ate with them, and he enjoyed the meager repast because there were grateful faces around him. When they had eaten and it was time to go to bed, the wife whispered to her husband, "Listen, dear husband. Let's make up a bed of straw for ourselves tonight so that the poor traveler can sleep in our bed and rest. He's been traveling the whole day and is probably very tired."
"That's wonderful."
I forgot what his voice was. He answered, "I'll go and offer it to him." Such a nice voice. I do so many great male voices. They're so good. Oh my God, all of them so sexy. Each one sexier than the last. And he went to the dear Lord and told him that, if he did not mind, he could sleep in their bed and give his limbs a proper rest. Well, not one limb in particular. That one's gonna be real busy. The dear Lord didn't want to take the old couple's bed, but they insisted until he finally took their bed and lay down in it. Meanwhile, they made a bed of straw for themselves and lay on the ground. The next morning, they were up before daybreak and cooked a pitiful breakfast for their guest. They have to say pitiful. Did you have to use pitiful? Like, you could say meager still. Pitiful? That's kind of judgmental, man. Like, they're clearly poor as fuck. When the sun began to shine through the little window and the dear Lord stood up, he ate with them again and prepared to continue his journey. As he was standing in the doorway, however, he turned around and said, "Because you are so kind and good, I'm going to grant you 3 wishes, and they shall indeed be fulfilled." What, is he a genie now? Is it Jesus the genie? What's going on? God grants wishes? Like, all right.
"There's nothing I want more than eternal salvation."
"Wouldn't be my choice," said the man.
"And also that we stay healthy and get our meager daily bread as long as we wish."
That's a horrible fuck.
"And for the 3rd thing, I don't know what to wish."
"Don't you want to wish for a new house in place of this old one?" asked the dear Lord, who clearly just threw out some crappy answer because he didn't want to do something like world peace.
"Oh, yes,"
said the man.
"I'd certainly be pleased if I could have that as well."
Right before his departure, the dear Lord fulfilled their wishes, turned the old house into a new one, and departed. When the rich man got up, it was broad daylight. As he looked out his window toward the other side of the road, he saw a beautiful new house. His eyes popped wide open. And he called his wife and said, "Call the doctor. My eyes are doing that thing again." I'm joking. Okay, they didn't have telephones. That didn't happen. His eyes popped wide open. And he called his wife and said,
"Take a look. How did that happen? Just yesterday there was a dumpy house standing there."
Gotta say dumpy, you're such an asshole.
"There was a dumpy house standing there. Today there's this beautiful new one. Run over and find out what happened."
"Run there yourself, you little bitch." So his wife went over and asked the poor man, who told her,
"Last night a traveler came by looking for a night's lodging. And right before his departure this morning, he granted us 3 wishes. Eternal salvation, good health, and our meager daily bread for the rest of our lives, and a beautiful new house in place of our old shack."
And after the rich man's wife heard that, you think he'd be happy just because he really improved his property value? Like, if you're rich, you should fucking know the fact that now your mansion is across from a nice-ass house versus a shack. You should be like, "Whoa, I'm super glad." Like, sure, I was an asshole, but he didn't curse you. Instead, he increased your property value because your neighbor was nice. Like, shut the fuck up and be grateful. In a fairy tale, that's the best you're fucking getting. Are you kidding me? You didn't get any retribution for being a dick? Calm the fuck down and take several seats in your mansion, rich man. Jesus. Oh my God. Okay. After the rich man's wife heard this, she hurried back and told her husband what had happened. Then the man said,
"I'd like to tear myself in two and beat myself to a pulp."
"That's weird. Don't do that."
"If I had only known. A stranger came to our house first and I turned him away."
"Hurry," said his wife, "and get on your horse. The man hasn't gone far. You must catch up to him and let him grant you 3 wishes too."
Now the rich man mounted his horse and managed to catch up with the dear Lord. He used sweet talk with the dear Lord and begged him not to take it amiss that he had not let him into his house right away, for he had gone to look for the door key, but the stranger had disappeared in the meantime. The rich man assured him that, if he had passed by again, he would find a place to stay at his house.
"Very well," said the dear Lord. "If
I come back again, I shall stay with you." Then the rich man asked him whether he could have 3 wishes like his neighbor. The Lord said yes, but that they would not turn out well for him, and it might be best if he refrained from wishing for anything. Oh, now the Lord's becoming a monkey's paw. See what you did? You triggered the monkey's paw feature. The rich man disagreed and asserted that he'd be able to choose something good if he knew for certain that the wishes would be fulfilled. "Just ride home," said the dear Lord. "The 3 wishes you make shall be fulfilled." Now the rich man had what he wanted, so he rode home and began to ponder what he should wish for. As he was thus steeped in thought, like so many tea bags in a teapot, he let the reins drop, and the horse began jumping so much that his thoughts were continually disturbed, and he couldn't collect them. He was so annoyed by the horse that he lost his patience and said, "I wish you'd break your neck." What an idiot. How often do you actually say, "I wish you'd XYZ," right? Okay, intermission. I want a drink and a vape. And I honestly have to say, how often do you actually utter the phrase, "I wish"? Because, like, you watch these horror movies that are wish-based, and it seems like these characters just blurt out that they wish things constantly. And maybe because I'm not looking for it or counting how many times it happens, but neither I or the people in my life really seem to say, "I wish" all that often. Except for right now discussing this story. You know what I mean? I don't think it's so common that you would get 3 wishes and immediately forget that you had 3 wishes and suddenly blurt out, "I wish my horse would, like, kill itself." Really? Really? Okay, then you get what you have coming to you because you're not that bright. Your memory, you should have wished for a better memory. I should wish for the wisdom to know what to do with the last wish. Oh, I shouldn't make it. But that wouldn't be funny. And the Lord is like Jigsaw. Because he's giving him these monkey paw wishes, and he'd be like, "I told him what would happen. I told him if he just didn't dig the key out of his eyeball, he's killing himself. It's not his fault." You know, like, come on, bitch. Okay, let's see what happens, because it's monkey paw god. Got you. Anyway, so this guy's fucking dumbass, and he wishes the horse would break its neck. As soon as he'd uttered those words, boom, he was thrown to the ground, and the horse lay dead and didn't move anymore. Well, I mean, seems a little redundant. Thus, the first wish had been fulfilled. Since the rich man was greedy, however, he didn't want to leave the saddle behind. I mean, is that greedy or, like, thrifty? I feel like that's thrifty. But whatever. So he cut it off, swung it over his back, and proceeded on foot. Despite all this, he consoled himself that he had 2 wishes left. As he went walking through the sand under the blazing noonday sun, he became hot and surly. The saddle rested heavily on his back, and he was having a great deal of trouble thinking of a wish. Really? I mean, now I just got done saying I don't say I wish for a lot of things, but if I had 2 wishes for anything, and I'm dumb enough not to heed the literal God who's giving me this wishes, warning not to use these wishes because he's clearly pissed because I've been an asshole. If I'm that dumb, I know what I'd wish for. At least even if you didn't think it through that hard. How rich are you that you wouldn't just wish for more money? If he's that greedy, wouldn't that be his first thought, like, I should wish for more money? I mean, or is he just that stupid? And that's why he's like, no, I should definitely use these cursed wishes that Monkey Paw Jesus said not to use. Maybe it's one of those situations where, like celebrities' kids, because these celebrities have, like, bajillions of dollars. Definitely a number. Don't look it up. And their kids end up, like, growing up with, like, fame and money and anything they could ever want. They all end up, like, on drugs and fucked up. Not all of them, but, like, a lot of them, right? So it's one of those situations where you're so rich, you have everything. You just need to take substances in order to feel alive. Because everything feels like you could have anything, so nothing feels really valuable anymore, right? So they're looking for some kind of something to make them feel alive. So they do a bunch of drugs. This is kind of like this, I think. This guy knows these wishes are gonna fuck me up. but he's so rich, he's like trying to find a way to fuck his life up. You know what I mean? He knows it's monkey paw shit. That's why he's having a hard time figuring out what he wants, because he doesn't want the good answer. He wants to fuck things up, you know? He wants to set the world on fire just to watch it burn because he's dead inside. So, in order to prevent that, he should send me a lot of money. It hasn't worked with Bill Gates yet, but one of these days. Okay. And that's my TED Talk. Oh, shit. Oh, no, I accidentally went through it. Oh, no, it's not karma. Let's go back. Ah, I accidentally went to the wrong page on the stupid PDF. I can do this, I swear. Oh, my God. I'm so lazy, I'm already getting tired of scrolling. I don't think that says something good about me, but I don't care enough to actually extrapolate because that sounds like a lot of work. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yes, volume 2. Right. Okay, we were at the guy, the rich guy who was just trying to feel alive. Okay. Yep, we're coming to it right here. He's going to wish for stupid shit. Because, yes. Okay. Whenever he thought he had found the right wish, it would seem to him afterward to be too little and modest. At one point, he began thinking about how easy his wife had it at home, where she was probably in a cool room and enjoying a fine meal. Just the thought of that irritated him so much that before he knew it, he blurted out, "I wish you were sitting on this saddle at home and couldn't get off instead of my carrying it on my back." And just as a last word, what obscure shit he says, like, why does everything he wish negative to other people? Doesn't he ever wish for good stuff? Or does he just wish for bad shit to happen? Because it seems kind of unlikely. It's real, real specific. I guess it's good for him he didn't wish that his wife broke her neck. Or maybe bad for him, I don't know. It seems kind of like a bad relationship. And just as the last word left his lips, the saddle vanished from his back, and he realized that his second wish had been fulfilled. He became so hot now that he began to run. He was looking forward to sitting down alone in his room where he would think of something great for his last wish. However, when he arrived home and opened the door to the living room, his wife was sitting on the saddle in the middle of the room. Since she couldn't get off, she was screaming and complaining. Fucking bitches, am I right? "You should be happy," he said. "I'm going to get you all the riches in the world with my wish. Just stay where you are." However, she yelled at him, "What good are all the riches in the world to me if I have to sit on this saddle? You wished me up here, and now you'd better get me off." Yeah. No, it's not a porn. Get your hopes down. Whether he liked it or not, he had to use a third wish to help her get rid of the saddle and climb down off it. His wish was fulfilled at once, and so he got nothing from the wishes but irritation, wasted effort, and a lost horse. On the other hand, the poor people spent their lives happily, peacefully, and devoutly, until they reached their blissful end. A mere 5 days later, in a storm of bullets, as the police swarmed the compound. No, that did not happen, but I wish it had. Okay. Well, it was a story. It happened, and now it's done. I didn't like it any more than you did. Maybe you liked it more than me. I fucking know. I don't particularly care. But feel free to tell me in the comments below. I'll read it anyway. And I'll care more than I say I'll care right now, because I'll probably be sober. Yeah, 50-50. Really depends. Read it in the morning. Oh, it's the morning. I will be, because I'll post it early, and then I'll read it in the morning, and I'm definitely gonna be sober. I'm not saying that as a lie, like, oh, definitely, wink, wink. No, like, definitely. I'd tell you if I wasn't. And unless it's been a particularly fucking awful night before, I will absolutely be sober in the morning. That being said, all this talk about sobriety is bumming me out.
So I think we should read another.
Fantastic. So good.
Grimm's Fairy Tale. This isn't the I can just tell.
The title. Whew.
Title's a good one. The Singing Springing Lark. Wow, that one looks real good. Singing Springing Lark. Oh boy. And the last fucking story is as long as fuckity fuck. So strap in. It's probably not going to get exciting. Never mind. Don't strap in. Do whatever you want. Once upon a time, there was a man about to go on a long journey. And upon his departure, he asked his three daughters what he should bring back to them. The oldest wanted pearls. The second, diamonds. But the third said,
"Dear father, I'd like to have a singing, springing lark."
"Yes," said the father. "If I can get one, you shall have it."
So he kissed all three daughters and departed. I feel like if my parent had said that, the answer would be, "I know it's impossible to find. So I'll tell you, if I can't find it, you're not getting it." Meaning, I know I can't find it, you're definitely not getting it, but I don't want to hear you whine about it now. I mean, am I wrong? Like, that would totally be something my parents would pull. And I kind of think that as a kid, but part of me would be like, but maybe it isn't that. And it totally would be every time. But like, I think maybe this time. No, it was never this time. Child version of me. Never. But I still didn't get it, you know. So we kissed all three daughters and departed. I think I already said that, but fuck it. Now, by the time he was ready for his return journey, he had purchased pearls and diamonds for the two oldest daughters. But even though he had looked all over, he had not been able to find the singing, springing lark for his youngest. She's probably like four and just made shit up. Like, get her something else. He was particularly sorry about that because she was his favorite. Sounds like the other one. Remember when she, like, trades the fucking girl for, like, a rose or whatever? And then, like, it sounds like that one. Let's see if it is. It's another fucking rip-off version, whatever. Singing Springing Lark. Sounds like a shitty toy.
Ah, okay.
In the meantime, he took his way, took him through a forest, in the middle of which he discovered a magnificent castle. It is that story, but just retold, so let's see what's different. Shall I continue? Yeah, I will. Fuck it. You're here and you're listening, so fuck you. I'm continuing. Singing Springing Lark. This story somehow got even worse. I mean, a rose was dumb. But this is really dumb. A singing, springing lark. Okay. Near the castle was a tree. Way on top of this tree, he saw a lark singing and springing about.
"Well, you've come just at the right time," he said to himself. Quite pleased. And he ordered his servant to climb the tree and catch the little bird. But when the servant went over to the tree, a lion jumped out from under it, shook himself and roared so ferociously that the leaves on the trees trembled.
"If anyone tries to steal my singing, springing lark," he calls it that too, really.
He cried, "I'll eat him up."
"I didn't know the bird belonged to you," said the man. "Can I buy my way out of this?"
"No," said the lion. "There's nothing that can save you unless you promise to give me the first thing you meet when you get home. If you agree, then I'll not only grant you your life, but also give you the bird for your daughter."
What the weird-ass fucking fuck? Okay, if he's not there, just lie to him. Don't be honest. Just lie. He's a lion. He expects you to be lion. Sorry.
Can't I buy my way out of this? Like, way to smooth talk. Fucking rolled one on charisma, dude. Can I buy my way out of this, officer? I can't imagine why I got in trouble. Like, okay, could be slick about it.
So, would you take a bribe? let's see. However, the man refused and said, That could be my youngest daughter. She loves me most of all and always runs to meet me when I return home. But the servant was very frightened and remarked, it could also be a cat or dog. The man let himself be persuaded, took the singing, springing lark with a sad heart, and promised the lion he would give him the first thing he encountered when he reached his house. When he rode home, the first thing that he met was none other than his youngest and dearest daughter. Indeed, she came running up to him, threw her arms around him, and kissed him. As soon as she saw that he had brought her a singing, springing lark, she was even more overcome by joy. But her father could not rejoice and began to weep, for he had to fucking tell the truth instead of lying like any other person would have done in this situation.
"Alas, dearest child," he said, "I had to pay a high price for this bird. To get it, I had to promise you to a wild lion, and when he gets you, he'll tear you to pieces and eat you up."
Way to soothe her. Good job, dickface. Then he went on to tell her how everything had happened and begged her not to go there, no matter what the consequences might be. Yet she consoled him and said,
"Dearest father, since you made a promise, you must keep it. I'll go there. Once I've made the lion nice and tame, I'll be back here safe and sound."
Oh, she's dead. She's gonna be eaten. I wish. I mean, it won't happen that way, but it'd be kind of nice. She's kind of annoying. The next morning, she had her father show her the way. Then she took leave of him and walked calmly into the forest. Now, thankfully for her, like most creatures apparently, this lion was actually an enchanted prince. They're constantly getting fucking enchanted and hanging around the woods. During the day, he and his men were lions, for some fuckety reason. And during the night, they assumed their true human forms. When she arrived there, she was welcomed in a friendly way, and the wedding was celebrated. As soon as night came, the lion became a handsome man. And so they stayed awake at night and slept during the day, and they lived happily together for a long time. One day the prince came to her and said, "Tomorrow there will be a celebration at your father's house because your oldest sister is to be married. I don't know how I know this. I'm a lion man. If it would give you the pleasure to attend, my lions will escort you there." She replied that yes, she would very much like to see her father again, and she went there, accompanied by the lions. Rolling in like a motherfucking boss. There was great rejoicing when she arrived, for they had all believed that she had been torn to pieces by the lion and had long been raped to death. Okay, long been dead. But she told them how well off she was and stayed with them as long as the wedding celebration lasted. And she went back to the forest. When the second daughter was about to be married, she was again invited to the wedding. But on this occasion, she said to the lion, "This time I don't want to go without you. You must come with me." However, the lion didn't want to attend the wedding and said it would be too dangerous for him because if a ray of light were to fall upon him, he would be changed into a dove. He'd have to fly about with the doves for 7 years. What the fuck? Okay. But she was a naggy-ass bitch, and said that she'd be sure to take good care of him and protect him from the light. So they went off together, and also took their small child with them that they have. Once there, she had a hall built for him so strong and thick that not a single ray of light could penetrate it. There was the place where he was to sit when the wedding candles were lit. However, its door was made out of green wood, and it split and developed a crack that nobody saw. Okay. That's some shitty writing. That's some awfully convenient fucking bullshit. Really? Just split and no one noticed it? Okay. Okay. Great writing there. Yeah. Real sixth grade effort you gave us, Grimm. Now the wedding was celebrated in splendor, but when the wedding procession with all the candles and torches came back from the church and passed by the prince's hall, a very, very thin ray fell upon the prince, and he was instantly transformed into a dove. When his wife entered the hall to look for him, she could only find a white dove sitting there, and he said to her,
"For 7 years I shall have to fly about the world, but for every 7 steps you take I shall leave a drop of red blood and a white feather to show you the way. And if you follow the traces, you'll be able to rescue me."
That's creepy. Then the dove flew out the door and she followed him. At every 7th step she took, a little drop of blood and a little white feather would fall and show her the way. Thus she went farther and farther into the wide world and never looked about or stopped until the 7 years were almost up. She never looked about or stopped in 7 years. Her legs must be so fucking buff. Jesus Christ. She never skipped leg day. Every day was leg day for 7 fucking years. You think you... I'm like, oh my God. I assume they're not being hyperbolic because fairy tale. And also, hey Dove, your plan sucks fucking ass. Your plan is shit. Your plan was to keep me occupied for 7 years, I'm guessing. If that was what it was, congrats. Because this stupid bitch, it took 7 years. It's a shitty plan. If you're like, I'm going to be a dove for 7 years, but don't worry, I'll totally guide you to me. And it's almost 7 years later. You know what? I failed. You're not... Was there a rescue mission? I'm going to bust you out of prison. And you bust me out of prison. And I'm there for 7 years. And you bust me out after 6 months, 6 years and 11 months. Like, no, thank you. Just let me finish my fucking sentence at this point. Like, if your plan took 6 years and 11 months, you failed. Fuck you. That's how I'd feel like at this point. Just let me finish being a dove, okay? What's like, what are you gonna do? You're just gonna fuck shit up again. You somehow busted a door large enough that a crack of light fell on me and like turned me into a dove for 7 years. Like, I was just, maybe he was just giving her busy work as like punishment. Like, fuck your plans. Enjoy, like, he just puts her in like a fucking loop for 7 years. She's just going in circles like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you, bitch. I'm a dove because of you, bitch. She was looking forward to that and thought they would soon be free. But they were still quite far from their goal. Once, as she was moving along, she failed to find any more little feathers or little drops of blood, and when she raised her head, the dove had also vanished. "I won't be able to get help from a mortal," she thought, and so she climbed up to the sun and said to her, "You shine into every nook and cranny. Is there any chance you've seen a white dove flying around?" "No," said the sun. "I haven't, but I'll give you a little casket. Just open it when your need is greatest." She thanked the sun and continued on her way until the moon began to shine in the evening. "You shine the whole night through and on all the fields and woods. Have you seen a white dove flying around?"
"No," said the moon. "I haven't, but I'll give you an egg. Just crack it open when your need is greatest."
They obviously coordinate this shit. She thanked the moon and went farther until the night wind stirred and started to blow. "You blow over every tree and under every leaf. Have you seen a white dove flying around? Is there only one dove in existence? Like, there's a lot of fucking doves." "No," said the night wind. "I haven't. But alas, the other three winds. Perhaps they've seen one." The east wind and the west wind came and reported they had not seen a thing. But the south wind said, "I've seen the white dove. It's flown to the Red Sea and become a lion again for the 7th year, for the 7 years are over. Right now the lion's in the midst of a battle with a dragon, which is really an enchanted princess." Yeah, that checks out. Then the night wind said to her, "Here's what I would advise you to do. Go to the Red Sea, where you'll find some tall reeds growing along the shore. Then count them until you come to the 11th one, which you're to cut off and use to strike the dragon." You know what? It's too many steps. I give up. Like, I'm going home. I'm not interested, you know? Like, it's too much work. I don't need it. I don't need it anymore. It's too fucking much work. I forgot what I was even here for. Let's go home. Oh, yeah, the fucking lion, whatever. You have to strike the dragon with a reed. That done, the lion will be able to conquer the dragon, and you will both regain their human forms. After that, look around, and you'll see the griffin sitting by the Red Sea. Get on his back with the prince, and the griffin will carry you home across the sea. Now here's a nut for you. Yeah, you got the nut all right. Here's a nut for you. Ah! When you cross over the middle of the sea, let it drop. A nut tree will instantly sprout out of the water, and the griffin will be able to rest on it. Can you write this down for me? Like, I forgot half what you wanted. You're talking to me, and you're... Okay, whatever. A nut tree will sprout out of the water, and the griffin will be able to rest on it. If you can't rest there, he won't be strong enough to carry you across the sea. So if you forget to drop the nut in the sea, he'll let you fall into the water. Fuck you. She went there and found everything as the night wind had said. She counted the reeds by the sea, cut off the 11th, and struck the dragon with it. Consequently, the lion defeated the dragon, and both immediately regained their human forms. But when the princess, who had previously been a dragon, was set free from the magic spell, she picked the prince up in her arms, got on the griffin, and carried him off with her. So the poor maiden who had journeyed so far stood alone and forsaken again. However, she said, "I'll keep going as far as the wind blows, and so long as the cock crows until I find him." Like, why? Oh. Sunken cost fallacy? Like, okay. And off she went, and wandered a long, long way, until she came to the castle where the two were living together. Aw, she gonna pull some fucking Jerry Springer shit. Shit's about to go down. Then she heard that their wedding celebration was soon to take place. This bitch is like, are you fucking serious? Also, that's some yandere shit. That, like, princess took him away and, like, now they're getting married. But you know what they say, like, the crazy ones are, like, the best in bed. Say, don't stick your dick in crazy, and this is why. She'll become a dragon, and then she'll take you back to your castle and, like, fuck punish you until you agree to marry her. Which, like, wait, that's all your fantasies. Fuck you, you sick bastard. Yandere dragon princess kidnaps you. Makes you her fuck slave. Until you agree to marry her and join your kingdoms. I mean, come on, that's hot. Okay, take it back. It's hot. Okay. Where was I? Yes. And off she went and wandered a long, long way until she came to a castle, blah, blah, blah. God will come to my aid, she remarked as she opened the little casket that the sun had given her. There she found a dress as radiant as the sun itself. She took it out, put it on, and went up to the castle. Everyone at the court and the bride herself stared at her. I mean, no shit. You're like literally the sun. Or their corneas are burning as we speak. The bride liked the dress so much she thought it would be nice to have it for her wedding and asked if she could buy it. "Not for money or property," she answered.
"But for flesh and blood."
And what kind of answer is that? The bride asked her what she meant by that, and she responded,
"Let me sleep one night in the prince's room."
She's okay. This princess is gonna pimp out her new husband for a dress. She's a really shitty person. The bride didn't want to let her, but she also wanted the dress very badly. Finally, she agreed, but the bridegroom's servant was ordered to give him a sleeping potion. That night, when the prince was asleep, the maiden was led into his room, where she sat down on his bed and said, "I've followed you for 7 years. I went to the sun, the moon, and the four winds to find where you were. I helped you conquer the dragon. Are you going to forget me forever? Wee, wee, little crybaby." But the prince slept so soundly that it seemed to him as if the wind were merely whispering in the firs. When the morning came, she was led out of the castle again and had to give up her golden dress. It's like those stories combined and made this shitty story. Since her ploy had not been of much use, she was quite sad and went out to a meadow where she sat down and wept. But as she was sitting there, she remembered the egg that the moon had given her. She cracked it open, and a hen with 12 chicks jumped out. That's a big fucking egg, all in gold. The peeping chicks scampered about and then crawled under the mother hen's wings. There was not a lovelier sight to see in the world. Shortly after that, she stood up and drove them ahead of her over the meadow until they came within sight of the bride, who saw them from her window. She liked the little chicks so much that she came right down and asked if she could buy them. Not for money or possessions,
but for flesh and blood.
Let me sleep another night in the prince's room. The bride agreed and wanted to trick her as she had done the night before. But when the prince went to bed, he asked the servant what had caused all the murmuring and rustling during the night. And the servant told him everything, that he'd been compelled to give him a sleeping potion because a poor girl had secretly slept in his room, and that he was supposed to give him another one that night. Dump the drink by the side of my bed. That night, the maiden was led into the room again, and when she began to talk about her sad plight, he immediately recognized his dear wife by her voice, jumped up and exclaimed, "Now I'm really free from the spell. It was like a dream. The princess had cast a spell over me and made me forget you, but God has helped me just in time." That night, they left the castle in secret. They were afraid of the princess's father, who was a sorcerer. Okay. They got on the griffin. Honestly, she sounds badass. She's a dragon sometimes, and her dad's a sorcerer. I mean, yeah, she put a spell on you, but, like, come on, that's hot. I could totally make that a role play. They got on the griffin, who carried them over the Red Sea. And when they were in the middle, she let the nut drop. Sploosh, am I right? Immediately, a big nut tree sprouted, and the griffin was able to rest there. Then he carried them home, where they found their child, who'd grown tall and handsome. They all had a threesome. No, they didn't. No. From then on, they lived happily until their death. Hopefully not with their child. That's weird, given their own life. Anyway, that is it for me, you guys. And that's it for you, too. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. I know I certainly did. And I can't wait to see you back again next week. Hopefully, you will be there listening with your ears. You're not psychic. I didn't forget. And you're not fucking psychic. Anyway, I love you guys, and I will talk to you again next week. Bye. Mwah.